Drive with Laura Chilingirian on ABC Radio Canberra.
It was a traumatic and violent time in Australia's history. The Black War, the conflict which started in the 1820s between British colonists and Aboriginal Australians in Tasmania. One way to get an insight into what happened during those ugly years is to look at the visual history, the artworks that came from British settlers and the Tasmanian Aboriginal people of the time. That's what you'll see at an exhibition at the National Gallery of Australia. It's called The National Picture, The Art of Tasmania's Black War. And the exhibition curators, Professor Tim Bonahady and Dr. Greg Lehman, are with me in the studio. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
How did this exhibition come together, Tim?
It's an area in which the National Gallery has had a long interest. They have been collecting and showing Tasmanian colonial art very seriously from when they opened, and that's how I first got to work for them, which I did really from 1980 before they opened. It was through Benjamin Deutero, who was the central artist in the show. And so Ron Radford, the previous director, had a big commitment to a show focused on Deutero, and at the same time, this is an area which for Hobart and for Tasmania is so important. And so Greg independently had been working towards this show as well. Greg, do you want to?
I've been keen to do some focused research on the way that colonial Australians represented Aboriginal people visually, just as a way of trying to get into the minds of colonists. Mm. I mean, these were people who were coming from, you know, from the slums of London, from small towns in Yorkshire, who had never had any exposure to exotic, foreign cultures, let alone Tasmanian Aboriginal culture, which is so unique in the world because of that long period of isolation. And it always fascinated me just how the European imagination encountered this strangeness and this otherness. And the reason that I think it's so important to understand that is that I have a very strong view that our visual history, as you mentioned, its importance and its significance isn't just confined to the past. It actually underpins and informs and influences a lot of attitudes and understandings today. So I embarked on a PhD project looking particularly at this subject, and also spent 12 months at the University of Oxford researching particularly Benjamin Deutero, who was the colonial artist at the centre of this show. So between Tim's, over many decades,
since 1980, incredible.
Looking at this issue, and me coming in more recently, we were brought together by David Hanson from the ANU's School of Art, who is also a specialist, particularly in relation to John Glover, another Tasmanian colonial artist, to be able to work together.
And one of the things which I guess is maybe unique about what we've done is that this is the first such sort of colonial show fixed on what happened, which has a Indigenous curator, Greg, and a non-Indigenous one, mm-hmm. me, and we've jointly curated the show. We've jointly written the very substantial accompanying catalogue book, and particularly at this time, that seemed a really necessary an appropriate thing to be doing.
So tell me a little more about the art, Greg, that exists from this period.
Well, this show brings together, first of all, you have to scope any project like this, otherwise it just gets bigger than Ben-Hur.
Mm.
So we took as the main, the focus for the show is around the period that Benjamin Deutero was in Van Diemen's Land, from 1832 until his death. And so we look at work that was being produced around that time. Now, Deutero arrived the year that George Augustus Robinson, who had been employed by Governor Arthur to try and convince Aboriginal people who were still defending their country to leave their country, to put themselves under the protection of the Crown, which meant being exiled to Flinders Island, to Wybalina at Flinders Island. So Deuteronomy arrives when the last armed resistance group of Aboriginal people are brought into Hobart Town by Robinson. It's a great spectacle. The streets are lined with colonists, a great deal of celebration. And I think when Deuteronomy arrived a few months after that great spectacle, he sensed that this was a moment, a really significant and important turning point, not just in the colony of Van Diemen's Land, but for the whole of the Australian colonies. So we've brought together the work not just of Deuteronomy, but other artists who were working together at the time. But importantly, we also wanted to ensure that Tasmanian Aboriginal people weren't simply being depicted as subjects of history. So we have cultural material that was made by Aboriginal people and collected and found their way into collections of the National Gallery, the Tasmania Museum and Art Gallery, the Queen Victoria Museum and Art Gallery. And also we have some contemporary artworks by Tasmanian Aboriginal artists such as Julie Goff and Ricky Maynard, but also Gordon Bennett, who's a well-known and respected Aboriginal artist, and a number of non-Aboriginal contemporary artists, to make the point that, and we call this section of the show Unfinished Business, to make the point that the subject of broken promises and treaties and the recognition of frontier conflict is actually just as important, if not perhaps more important today than it was then.
I want to get into that a little bit more a bit further on. But Tim, how difficult was it to gather this visual history of the time?
You mean for us to bring it together
Yes.
and get it to Canberra? It's a complicated, expensive process for the gallery. It's been a long time coming. It's most of the lenders have been extraordinarily generous. You know, we've managed to get extraordinary objects. So the earliest surviving photograph of Tasmanian Aboriginal people, taken probably at the end of 1847, a very, very small daguerreotype, has never been reproduced before, never been publicly exhibited before. Years ago, my close friend Andrew Sayers did a wonderful book and exhibition of 19th century Aboriginal drawings. We are showing what is probably the earliest oil painting by an Aboriginal person, never been properly reproduced before, never been shown on the mainland, never been identified as probably the first, possibly the first oil painting. So it's been, it's been an extraordinary kind of journey to do that. One of the great things we do in the show is that Wybalina, the Aboriginal settlement on Flinders Island, two colonial artists, John Skinner Prout and Simpkinson de Wesselo, went there together. They produced a big body of watercolours. Ever since they produced them, they have been divided. The Prouts have ended up in Hobart in the Tasmanian Museum. The Simpkinsons have ended up in Hobart. The Prouts have ended up in London. We're reuniting them for the first time and showing them and showing how these artists sometimes depicted the same individual almost identically, sometimes showed them radically differently. So, it's that kind of material which I think makes it a compelling show.
My guests here on ABC Radio Canberra Drive are the curators of the National Picture, The Art of Tasmania's Black War, which is showing at the National Gallery of Australia, Professor Tim Bonhady and Dr. Greg Lehman are with me in the studio. How reflective is the art of what it really looked like back then?
That's a really good question. And one of the most fascinating things about the sort of work that Tim and I do, sort of submerging yourself in art history is you get to appreciate that in a world where we are obsessed with the authentic documentation, you know, the photograph, the verifiable video footage, the evidence that kind of turns up in courts. Here we're working for the most part in a period before the introduction of photography to the Australian colonies. And so we're kind of at the mercy, if you like, of the artist's eye. And the range of artists that we have in this show bring a range of talents and skills and perspectives and interpretations. And in some ways, I think this, you know, this takes us back to a time when storytelling was a much more vital part of human experience and history. I'm not saying the facts weren't important, but it's the human quality, the interpretation, the humanity that is introduced by these artists, particularly into the portraits of Tasmanian Aboriginal people, that I find most most moving. This is not just an historically important show for people to see. There are moments across the two galleries that this exhibition occupies that are quite beautiful, that are quite moving, and I really think I implore people to go along and have a look. Don't be put off by the prospect of this being about an episode of Australia's history that is too difficult or too hard to think about or talk about. This is a way of engaging with the past in a way that I'm hoping will allow Australians to engage honestly and powerfully and passionately with a past that, for most of us, it's been considered too difficult and a no-go zone. But I think once you take that step, it is very empowering, and it's to my mind a really important step in Australia maturing in its relationship with the past. And this show, I think, will be seen as one of the very first steps by a major national institution in what will be a growing process of acknowledgement of frontier conflict and the wars that actually did define Australia in terms of it becoming the nation that it is today.
Professor Bonahady?
I think one of the real strengths of the show is that we have multiple representations of key individuals. So George Augustus Robinson, the conciliator or pacificator of the Tasmanian Aborigines. We have him painted by Deutereau in his kind of bush expedition kind of gear. We have a bust of him where he looks like a kind of Roman senator. and then we have another representation of him where he looks like a dapper colonial gentleman. And so it's fascinating to see those three together. They're much more interesting by being grouped. And the same thing is true of the key Aboriginal figures in the show, that we have many of them are represented three or four times by different artists in very different ways. And so that kind of question about how you read portraits and having more than one representation gives us a much better chance of grappling with them as individuals.
And you mentioned earlier, Greg, that the exhibition also features work by contemporary artists, that it's labelled unfinished business. How have they reflected on the Black War?
The works that we've selected, and it's a relatively small part of the show, but a very, very important part of the show, we've selected artworks that pick up on some of the images that have been drawn from works that were produced in the 1830s and have kept reappearing in Australian art, and these are images drawn from the Franklin boards, the so-called proclamation boards, but also from Benjamin Deutereau's conciliation, and these are images which raise that question of equality and justice and agreement and promises and treaties. And of course, everybody knows that this is a matter that's unresolved. It's an issue that we are still grappling with, and so the works that we're presenting in Unfinished Business provide evidence from the artistic archive of Australia to demonstrate just how unfinished this business is. And I guess for me personally as a curator, it's an urging to everybody that we can't ignore this stuff. It's been ignored for 100 years or more, and it hasn't gone away, and nothing is going to change. And the contemporary artists who have worked with these images and re-presented them and refigured them and interpreted them are offering us different ways of looking at history and the unresolved aspects of that history.
Now, NGA Director Gerard Vaughan has described this as a challenging, courageous and necessary exhibition. What do you both want visitors to take away from it? Tim, I'll start with you.
I think we want people to get the conjunction between the kind of momentous things which happened in Tasmania, particularly from the mid-1820s into the early 1830s, the extraordinary, terrible impact of invasion and settlement on Tasmanian Aboriginal people. The conjunction between that and remarkable art. And there is this extraordinary kind of, yeah, so you both get these events of cataclysmic significance and you get art which is of an order which isn't being done elsewhere in Australia. So you get the first grand history paintings, you get the first colonial sculptures, you get the first etchings. And so it's the fact that these events are so significant and the art is of such sort of quality and significance as well. And that if they come away with those two things and that intersection, that would be fantastic.
And Dr. Lehman?
Three things, I think. There's a question here that people should be asking. Why the hell is the National Gallery of Australia doing a show about art from Tasmania's Black War? And the answer to that is really important, and that is that what happened in Tasmania was a particularly intense example of something that happened right across the continent. So, you know, this is the story not just of Tasmania, but of Aboriginal communities and the impact on Aboriginal nations right across Australia. The second thing that I'd like people to take away is to have a sense of the humanity of the Aboriginal people who are depicted in the portraits in particular that are in the show, to humanise the story about frontier conflict. It's too easy to just talk about Aboriginal people as if it's just this group that nobody knows anything about. Well, you know, these are individuals. These are people who are mothers, fathers, aunties, uncles, people who, you know, who had bad senses of humour, or they were characters just like the people that we live and work with today. And this shows through in some of those portraits. And the third thing I think is, and something that comes through particularly with these portraits, you know, some of the portraits of Aboriginal people who had been held for, you know, 20 years in exile on Flinders Island, who were still proudly wearing their ochre and their traditional dress. This is a story of great resilience and of cultural survival and cultural continuity. And this is something that can be celebrated in the midst of what is otherwise quite a dark and disturbing story.